We're going to read from God's word now in John chapter 20. Do pick up one of these blue church Bibles. They should be on a seat beside you. We're going to read on page 1089. We're going to read some verses carrying on from what Jay read earlier in the service. John chapter 20, beginning at verse 24. Page 1089. John chapter 20. Beginning at verse 24. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him,
"We have seen the Lord."
But he said to them,
"Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe."
A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said,
"Peace be with you."
Then he said to Thomas,
"Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe."
Thomas said to him,
"My Lord and my God."
Then Jesus told him,
"Because you have seen me, you have believed. Bless those who have not seen and yet have believed."
Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
Thank you ever so much to the McKenna family for reading. Well, one day I was trying to talk to my friends about Jesus, and I would start with the question, what would you say is the world's biggest problem? Got many answers, including cancer, politics, and religion, but one person turned to me and said, "My biggest problem is that at 6 a.m. this morning, my grandma died." And he's right, isn't he? Death is the biggest problem, and it's all around us. Just flick on the news this morning and you'll see many killed in Sri Lanka. Walk down the high street and you'll see the graveyards and the many funeral directors. In fact, just this week, Lucy and I received a devastating message telling us that two of our university friends had been killed whilst on holiday in a tragic accident. And the sad reality is that one day you and I will die. Death comes to us all. Now, some of you might be sitting here thinking, it's the first time I've ever come to church, and here we are thinking about death on Easter Sunday. But thinking about death helps us to see the amazing truth in this passage, because John says there is one person who has risen from the dead who can give all of us eternal life. Now, you're probably sat there thinking, well, how is that possible? How can I believe that Jesus rose from the dead? That's our question for this morning. That's what we're going to think about this morning. And I think the Bible has lots of evidence that Jesus rose from the dead. And in this passage, we're going to spend a bit of time thinking about the change in Thomas. Because Thomas changes, doesn't he, in this passage? He starts off and with unbelief. And yet by the end of the passage, he has belief. And I want to suggest that we all here today can believe that Jesus rose from the dead because of the change we see in Thomas from unbelief to belief. Now behind this screen here, I've got a block of wood with a nail in it. And what I'm going to try and do is balance 14 of these nails on top of this one nail. 14, okay? Now, does anybody believe that I can do it? A few people think I can. Who doesn't believe that I can do it? Right, quite a few, right? 14 of these nails. Maybe two or three come up here. Erin, Navon, yeah, Reuben, come up here and just stand here. So you can see what I'm about to do, but no one else can see, right? Got to stand here. Now, hopefully this will work. If not, we could be in a spot of bother. Are there 14 nails on that nail? Yes. See, you can take your seat. There's more than six, Navon. There's more than six. Don't believe him. There are 14. So those three have gone from unbelief, they didn't believe I could do it, to belief. And the rest of you can believe that it happened because of their change, right? Well, I want to suggest that we can believe that Jesus rose from the dead because of the change in Thomas. Let's look down at our passage as we turn back to it. By this point, after his resurrection, Jesus has already appeared to most of his disciples, his closest friends, but not Thomas. And so they run up to Thomas and they say, "We have seen the Lord." And yet, how does Thomas respond? "Unless I see him and the scars, I will not believe." Seems to be quite a stubborn response, doesn't it? He starts with unbelief. But I suppose we could have sympathy with Thomas. Maybe if you were there, you would react in the same way. "Without evidence, I refuse to believe." That's not how Thomas is at the end of the passage, is it? A week later, this Jesus somehow manages to get through some locked doors, and he appears to Thomas, and he shows him his hands where the nails had gone through. He shows him his side where the spear had pierced him on the cross. And so his stubborn response of unbelief, of "I will not believe," has changed into belief. He says, "My Lord and my God." And so Jesus says, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." Thomas has changed, hasn't he? He goes from saying Jesus didn't rise from the dead to saying that he did. He goes from unbelief to belief. Now, there must be a reason for this. There must be a reason why Thomas would go from unbelief to belief. And I'm convinced that it makes most sense with all of the other evidence too that the Bible contains, that Thomas saw Jesus again and believed in him because he rose from the dead. How else do you explain the change in Thomas? The guys who came up had nothing to gain. I mean, it would have been funny if they said, "No, it didn't happen," because that would put me in a spot of bother. They had nothing to gain from saying that it happened. And yet their change from unbelief to belief shows you guys, the rest of you, that I did do it. The change in Thomas from unbelief to belief shows that Jesus must have risen from the dead. Now, in a minute, the children are going to come up and sing a song to us that they've been learning. But before they do, I'm going to perform a bit of a rap, okay? Now, I like to think I'm pretty cool, and I've written a rap for Easter Sunday to try and help us remember what we're learning. So I'm going to perform one part now, and then a second part later on. You guys can all join in with the beat. So it goes like this. You might have seen this before. Not too quickly. The words should be on the screen. "Death, the biggest problem, is seen all around. One day we will all be in the ground. But for Jesus, death is clearly not the end, shown by the reaction of all his friends. One refused to believe his name, Didymus. That was until he met the risen Jesus. Though they were locked, Jesus came through the doors, and Thomas felt his scars with his own two paws. What explains the change, we must ask our brain? Jesus must have come back to life again. But does it all matter you want to ask of me? Wait until the next verse, then you'll see. So we saw a few moments ago that Jesus must have risen from the dead. If you don't believe it, may I implore you, look into the evidence. There's lots of evidence, not just Thomas, but plenty more as well. Jesus must have risen from the dead, but is his resurrection really that important? Does it matter whether you and I believe that it happened or not? Well, hopefully by the end, you'll agree with me that there is nothing, nothing in life that matters more. I've done one challenge and I've got one for you. So I need one person, and one person to put the hand out is going to come. Isaac, do you want to come up? Come and help. It's quite a hard challenge, but I think you'll be all right. Come and stand here. So in this safe is an Easter egg, right? Come stand here. In this safe is an Easter egg, okay? Do you know what an Easter egg is? You had any this morning? Don't know. Right. Now, the way that the safe works, it's locked, okay? You have to put in a number code and then this button here, okay? Yes? If you get it right, the safe will open and you get the egg. If you get it wrong, you don't get the Easter egg. Is that fair? That's fair. He says it's fair. Well, that's all good. You're going to have 30 seconds to try as many different codes as you can, followed by this, to see if you can get the egg. Does that make sense? 30 seconds. I'm going to time it. Everyone else, make sure you've got John 20 open. You've got 30 seconds starting from now. Try as many as you can. And you press this one. No, that's not it. It was that for a moment. Try again. No, that's not it. One more. Got 10 seconds. No, I'm afraid you didn't get it. And I think that might mean that we can't get into the safe. We'll hide this here for now. That could have been very close. Isaac, your 30 seconds are up. I'm afraid you didn't get the egg, so take your seat. You didn't get the egg. You don't get any more attempts. Well, it wasn't really surprising that Isaac didn't get the egg, was it? It wasn't really surprising. I mean, lots of different combinations it could have been, up to unlimited number of numbers that it could be to enter the code. But Isaac trying to complete that challenge shows what humans are like with death, doesn't it? I mean, however hard we try to sort of prolong our life, death will always win. If death is the unsolvable problem, right? Just like Isaac had no chance of getting into the safe, we cannot defeat death. And one day, for you and me, time will be up. But even worse than that, Jesus and God say that without Jesus, we're not just heading for physical death, but an eternal death because of our sin. You see, we all do wrong things, don't we? We lie, we get angry, we do lots of wrong things. And that is because none of us love God like we ought to. Instead, we reject him and live our own way. But because God is good and loving, he has to punish sinners. He has to. And that means that when we die, we're not just heading for physical death, but for eternal death and an eternal punishment. You see, this is the state of every single person, isn't it? Unbelief means that sin leads to eternal death. But if we look down at 30 and 31, the little verse numbers, on page 1090, we can see that it's possible for anyone to have eternal life. It's possible that death doesn't have to be the end. Let's read verses 30 and 31 out loud together. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John here makes it very clear why he wrote his book, doesn't he? John wrote down Jesus' miracles, how he turned water into wine, how he fed the 5,000, how he was risen from the dead, and all of the other things, so that people can believe that Jesus is the Messiah, God's chosen King, and the Son of God, and therefore come to have life. Do you see it? John says that if we go from unbelief to belief, that we won't face eternal death. Instead, we have eternal life. That is because Jesus is the one with power over death. You see, if Isaac wanted the egg, all he had to do was ask me for the code. Isaac, do you want the egg? Do you want the egg? Come and get it, come and get it. Do you want it? Take them all. See, just like I have power over the safe because I'm the one who set the codes, Jesus is the one who has power over death. And yet we all still sin, don't we? We all still sin. And so we all still deserve this eternal death. Well, before Jesus could defeat death, he had to take it. Before Jesus could rise from the grave, he had to be put in it. And he was, after he was killed on a cross. And as he was killed on a cross, he took your sin and mine with him. Jesus took our sin to the cross. And he took our eternal death, our eternal punishment from God. He took it upon himself. And that means two amazingly wonderful things for any who would go from unbelief to belief. Firstly, their sin has been dealt with. It's been got rid of. And instead of sin, we now have forgiveness from God. And secondly, because Jesus has fully taken our eternal death and eternal punishment from God, in the future we have eternal life. Though Christians will die physically, they will be raised to have eternal life. Though our two university mates were killed tragically last Sunday on holiday, both of them Christians, which means amazingly, they're with their Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, right now, and they will be forever and ever. A wonderful hope for us as friends and for their family. Jesus' resurrection shows there is one who has died, who has been raised to life, and there is one who can give all of us eternal life. Just like all Isaac had to do was ask for the code and receive the gift, if we want eternal life, we just have to ask the one who is powerful enough to give us eternal life. It matters whether or not we leave today believing that Jesus rose from the dead. It matters whether or not we've done a Thomas in going from unbelief to belief. Why? Well, because hopefully you see that it really is a life or death decision. Whether we trust in Jesus' death and believe in his resurrection is the difference, isn't it, between eternal death and eternal life. Why don't I pray now? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for the wonderful hope that the resurrection of your Son gives us. Thank you that there is one who has defeated the problem of death. And in his death, thank you so much that your Son, the Lord Jesus, took sin and your eternal punishment so that we can be forgiven now and be raised to have eternal life. We pray, Father, that you would help us to look into these things, knowing that they are incredibly important. For your name's sake, we pray. Amen. As I say, I've got a second half of a rap to perform. I'll do the first half again and then the second half. So let's get the beat going. Death, the biggest problem, is seen all around. One day we will all be in the ground. But for Jesus, death is clearly not the end, shown by the reaction of all his friends. One refused to believe his name, Didymus. That was until he met the risen Jesus. Though they were locked, Jesus came through the doors, and Thomas felt his scars with his own two paws. What explains the change, we must ask our brain? Jesus must have come back to life again. But does it all matter, you want to ask of me? Wait until the next verse, then you'll see. John's got a purpose for writing this book. Whatever our name is, we can take a look. Jesus gave signs around his squad. He's clearly the Messiah and Son of God. Deserving eternal death for our sin, how can he solve the problem we are in? Died on a cross, that's why he came. Forgiveness from God on offer in his name. And if we believe, we'll be raised from the grave. Because this Jesus from death he can save. My time is up. A question before I sit. Eternal life. Why wouldn't you accept it?